Attention, everyone. Attention. We're on the air. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We're on the Air with Jeff and Sarah. Today's a great day. It's one of the first weekends we've had here in Utah where we've had sun and decent weather, meaning anything above 60 degrees. So Sarah and I took a little trip up the canyon, had a picnic, and had a good time. And it was nice.
It was nice. I enjoyed it every second. And we took a long drive and we went up in the mountains. And I didn't want to come back.
Well, here we are. And we thought it's a good time to do a podcast.
Hello, podcast listeners.
So we've been thinking today might be a good day to talk about some fun stuff that we kind of all collect into one big repository called embarrassing moments.
Well, I have an embarrassing moment or two in my life.
Now, that's hard for me to believe, Sarah, because you're just not the kind of person that looks like you get embarrassed.
I don't often get embarrassed, but I do. And when you think about embarrassing moments, think about the time in your life when you were the most embarrassed. And it has to be adolescence, you know, junior high. Everything is embarrassing. Absolutely. Parents are embarrassing. Oh, my mom embarrassed me so bad. And I look at it now and
Maru it seems... Maru Simmons embarrassed you?
Yes, she did. Regularly. But I recall one time, I must have been about sixth grade, and it was state conference, which means that all of the people that belonged to our church that lived in the area all came to the same meeting. And it was in the church, and they had the doors opened up into the gym, and the whole gym was full of people.
Oh, yeah.
And she was saving enough seats for she and I and my brother Dave on the bench, because Dad had to sit on the stand.
Right.
And my brother Dave came in and sat on the back row with his buddies. And she was not having that. And the whole crowd was there. Everyone was sitting down. It was quiet. People were waiting for to start, and she stood up and turned around and kept beckoning him to come up and sit with us. And he just pretended he didn't see her. He just acted like he couldn't see her. And I was mortified as she started waving her arms, going, "Dave, Dave, Dave."
And had the meeting started already?
It was almost ready to start, seriously. And it was quite, they're playing the prelude music, everyone is seated, because the chapel fills up quickly. And then, the stragglers have to sit in the back on the hard chairs.
That's right.
So we were up on the benches, and she's turned around just waving her arms. And I thought that I would literally die.
Oh, I vaguely remember something about... How old were you at that time?
I was about 12.
Okay. That was before our time. But yeah, parents can be kind of embarrassing. What's interesting, though? I never did get embarrassed. My parents never embarrassed me. I did get embarrassed. I shouldn't say that. But it never came from my parents.
That's interesting.
Which is pretty crazy, because I think that's... a lot of kids go through that.
Well, I remember stuff your dad would do when we were in high school, and it would have embarrassed me, but you never seemed to be bothered.
No.
Yeah, I remember him screaming out the door one time when one of the kids came, they came flying through the parking lot in their truck with the really loud headers on the back, and went, rum, 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 and they were flying through the parking lot, and your dad opened the door and screamed out, "Slow down, or I'll shove that up, give you an enema with that truck." That's what he said. "Slow down, I'll give you an enema with that truck."
Right.
And I was like, that would make me embarrassed, but you just laughed.
Yeah. Well, I was used to that. I grew up around that stuff. I heard all of Dad's little sayings. They never bothered me. But, speaking of church, I remember you playing the piano, accompanying me while I sang one time, and I was up there alone in front of everybody singing this solo, and suddenly I could not remember the words to the song. And I remember you kind of started mouthing the words a little bit because I looked over at you like, this isn't going to happen. And you had already started playing. Oh, it was embarrassing. And, you know, everybody looked at me like, Hicks, you're an idiot.
Well, that wasn't because you forgot the words. That was because you peed your pants.
Oh, really? I never actually did stuff like that. At least not when I was 16 or 17.
I remember another time. This is another Maru embarrassment. But I understand. I would do the same thing now. But as a kid, I don't remember how old I was, probably 10 or 12. And we were in Safeway.
Right.
And my mom went to Safeway a lot. But once a month, she would go in and do a major shop. I mean, we're talking get stuff for the food supply, yeah. You know.
I used to be your box boy at that time.
Well, this was before your box boy days. Really? This was when you were a little bit younger, I think. Anyway, we went through Caldine McDonald's line, and she's such a sweetheart. And she did all of mom's groceries. And I mean, literally the bill came out to something crazy like $500 or $600.
Wow.
And she got done, and mom's like, that's not right.
Your mom added it up in her head.
Yeah, because she'd been adding it up in her head, which I just thought, there's no way you've been able to keep track. You weren't carrying a calculator. And she's like, no, that's not right. That's not correct.
Oh, no.
And, you know, this is the days, you know, before the barcodes.
Yeah.
So poor Caldine had to type everything in, you know, dick, right. dick. So anyway, there'd been so many groceries, because back then, $500 bought a lot of groceries. Oh, yeah. The box boy had already, I think it was Robert Phillips, and he'd already loaded him in the car, you know?
Man.
And I'm telling you, my mom's like, nope, that's not right. And so he came back out to the car and got all the groceries out, because I'd gone out with him, and brought him back in, and they took him out of the sacks, and she ran him again, and they found it. They found the accident. The chicken, my mom had bought a whole chicken.
Yeah.
And the chicken was like $2.25, and she had accidentally put $22.25.
Oh, yeah.
So in a $500 to $600 bill, my mom found the $20 mistake. She knew in her head, that's not right. And she was very nice. She wasn't rude or anything, but I was so embarrassed, because you know how it is in the grocery store. There's people behind us looking at us like they want to shoot us dead on the spot, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, mom, just forget it. No big deal. And she's like, no, you know? And yeah, I get it. If I knew someone had overcharged me $20, I would be wanting them to make it right. And, you know, everything was fine. But as a kid, that was the most mortifying experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think I've been there when, you know, I've had, I think my mom caught somebody overcharging her a few cents. But my mom was one of those people that if they undercharged her, she'd be like, no, that's 30 cents below what it should be.
You know,
and she would pay it up.
Yeah, I mean, my mom was like that too.
Yeah.
Very straight arrow.
It's crazy.
She didn't try to take advantage of anybody, but don't take advantage of me.
Right. Yeah. It's like my dad used to say, mom is very black and white. There's no gray areas with her. It's either right on or it's not. So anyway, you know, I was thinking this when we were talking about doing our most embarrassing moments. I remember I used to get embarrassed when I was a little kid, probably more then than any other time in my life. And it all started in the first grade. I remember showing up one day. Show and tell was kind of a new thing for me. And I absolutely did not want to lose out on show and tell. So one day, I showed up at school without the show and tell thing. I just completely forgot, which was not like me, because that was kind of the biggest event in my life at that time was, you know, show and tell. So we all got together in our little group, and our teacher, first grade teacher, Mrs. Thomas.
The bridge toll.
She had some crazy things she used to do. Anyway, show and tell started. The little kids started, you know, saying their stuff or showing everybody what they had. And all this time, I I was thinking up a story. I had to have something. And, you know, I have a big imagination. So I had this huge whopping story. And when it came my turn, Mrs. Thomas said, "Jeff, do you have a story or something to tell or show?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a story, all right." And I told this crazy story about how my dad flew his airplane into the backcountry, crashed into the side of a mountain, and then had to walk out. And all along the way, of course, he had a Bowie knife and, you know, all of the things he needed to survive. He killed bears and antelope and deer and elk and ate grasshoppers. And, you know, I had everything thrown into that story. And, of course, he did it all by hand, killing those bears. All the little kids were looking at me like, "Oh, my, that is incredible. Your dad is great." Anyway, when I finally got done with that story, Mrs. Thomas looked at me like I was the biggest liar she'd ever heard in her life.
Well, you were.
Well, she asked me a few questions. I didn't have any trouble covering those questions. Oh, yeah, you know, I told her all about it. So, anyway, we got done with that crazy story, got on with the day, and that evening, the phone rang. I heard my mom over there talking, and I thought, that sounds interesting. It sounds something like what might have happened in school today. So Mom hung up the phone, walked over, and crap hit the fan. "Jeff, did you tell a big lie on show and tell today?" "Oh, no, Mom, no. What are you talking about?" "Well, Mrs. Thomas just called."
She threw you under the bus.
She did.
That mean old hag.
Yeah, my mom told her, "My husband doesn't even own a plane." "No, he didn't crash it. He doesn't even know how to fly one." Oh, man. So the next day was terrible. It was bad. Mrs. Thomas called me a liar. I lost all of my show-and-tell privileges for a week or so. It was the worst day of my life, actually, until that up to that point. So, you know, I went back to just huddling in my desk like a little cipher. But, you know, I learned not to lie anymore. Because just the embarrassment of having all of my friends and everybody else know that I told the biggest whopper in the history of the Pioneer Elementary School. So anyway, that was my first major embarrassment.
Yeah, I don't remember my first, but I remember being in about fifth grade. I think in fifth grade, we were in the high school in those classrooms at the end, and instead of over in the Pioneer.
Right.
And we'd had an especially difficult music period with Mrs. Cannon. Now,
oh yeah,
let me tell you right here, I love Mrs. Cannon. She's a great lady, and you know, but she could be really tough some days, and she had been yelling at us, and just it was awful. And she was yelling at the class, and you know, Shelly Havman and I, we walked out at recess at lunchtime, walking over towards the playground, and we're just like, "Oh, I hate Mrs. Cannon. She's the worst."
Yeah.
And she was right behind us. Oh, I just wanted to die. Shelly and I were we felt so bad because we didn't really hate her. We just did that day because she'd been so angry at everybody the whole time. And you know, I liked singing and so did Shelly. And so it wasn't like we didn't like singing. It was just a bad day. Right. But anyway, that was embarrassing. It's embarrassing when you say something rude and the person that you're talking about is listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, that happened to me one time. It was with a grown-up that when I was 10 or 11, 12 years old, I didn't really like them very much. And it just so happens, and you know, these things always occur when you least expect it. So this person that I didn't like very well, this grown-up, was sitting in our kitchen talking to my dad. And And I was just in the other room talking about how much I did not like that person to my mother. And she's like pointing and trying to mouth, shut up, you know, don't say anymore. And then it suddenly occurred to me that that person is sitting right in the other room and they probably heard everything I said. And they did.
Oh, no.
Because when I walked in there, they're like, hey, Jeff, is that how you really feel? And I'm like, oh, no. No. But, you know, that was probably the first time I ever had to just face a person and say, hey, you know what? There's problems. And when we can work it out.
Yeah.
But when you're a little kid, you don't want to do that kind of stuff.
No.
You'd rather wait until you're bigger and older. And anyway, yeah. It was really embarrassing because that person was a good friend of my parents.
Oh, no.
And so it's like, you know, suddenly I'm the outcast. Yeah. But, you know, thinking back, when I was a freshman in high school, we went to, you know, we were in Provo that year. So I went to Tempview High School. And I had a speech and debate class. And the teacher decided one day for our speeches that day, we were going to do most embarrassing moments. And he gave the first speech to tell, you know, to show us how it works. And it's one of the funniest embarrassing moment talks I've ever heard in my life. So here's what happened. This guy took his girlfriend out, and this was like their first or second date. They had just started dating. You know, they were like just turned 16, and this girl was a girl that he really wanted to impress. And she was gorgeous, according to him, the way he described her. And she had long blonde hair and was just a gorgeous girl. So they're walking into the movie theater. He looks down just as they're approaching their seats and noticed his pants are unzipped. And he's thinking, oh no, I hope she did not notice that. So he reached down, grabbed a zipper, and pulled it up just as she bent her head over to look at the seat numbers to see what seat she was supposed to sit in. And she got her hair caught in his zipper as he was pulling his zipper up. And it wasn't like it was, you know, the very end of her hair. It was right up near her head, and she could not pull her head up straight. So she's bent over with her hair caught in this kid's zipper, and they have to walk out of the theater that way.
Did she ever go with him again?
You know, he didn't say. You know, the best ending to a story like that is, and we got married, you know, 3 years later. But he didn't. I don't think that happened.
Well, you know, that reminds me of a story my brother told. It was so funny. My brother, my older brother, who shall remain nameless, got a date with a very beautiful girl that was a friend. You know, their family were friends of ours. And they were going to a dance, and he was nervous, you know. He's a little nervous about dancing with her, and so he put some gum in his mouth and was chewing this gum and trying to, you know, handle his nerves by chewing gum. And they got out on the floor, and they're dancing, and it was a slow dance. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, no. And he realizes that he's chewing hair into his gum, and he's like, he didn't know what to do. He's like, she has this beautiful long hair, and he's chewed his gum wad into her hair on accident.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so he just let it go out of his mouth into her hair, and he never said anything.
You're kidding.
No, I can't believe she stayed friends with him.
Oh, man. So they go out again?
I think so.
Did she figure out what happened?
I'm sure she did. She had to have known. Man.
That's incredible. You know, while you were telling that story, I thought about, since we're talking about date stories, Dad worked on the river in the summer times for a number of years, and there was a boatman that worked there, and the winter before that summer he worked on the river, he took this really pretty girl out from BYU. He rented a snow machine and they went up in the mountains. It was going to be a real romantic date. And so they unloaded the snow machine and got it all ready to go. And everybody jumped on. She was right behind him. And he grabbed the start cord, pulled that thing out, and his elbow went back and hit her in the nose and smashed her nose all over her face.
That's horrible.
It broke her nose. And there was blood running everywhere, and she was crying because it hurt. And she was embarrassed and felt bad. And this is, you know, this is in the cold. So it's getting cold. And he just, you know, he was a really great guy. And he took good care of her, I'm sure. But he's like, you know, I did not know what to do. I got this girl crying. There's blood running everywhere. And I got to do something. You know, so he just went to work. He did, I suppose, what any guy would do and try to fix the problem. But that was one date that he said, nope, she did not go out with me again. I felt really bad for him.
You know, this is a funny story. When Kathy and Todd were at BYU, for some reason they had, Kathy's my sister, and they had Dad's truck for a week or so. I don't know why, but they decided to go on a date and drive it up in the mountains, and because Kathy was missing the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And so they drove it up into the mountains, and they got up into the snow, and they got stuck, and they couldn't get the truck out. And so they had to walk all the way down to where they could flag someone to, like, take them back. And so they were just like, oh, my gosh. And so they were looking for someone that could come help them pull the truck out, you know, out of this snowbank. And so they got a friend, and he came up in his truck and brought a big chain to pull them out. And he got in the truck, started the truck, put it in four-wheel drive. Well, they had put it in four-wheel drive, but he got out, put the hubs in, backed out, drove it home.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Nobody had taught them about hubs.
Hubs are really important when you want those front wheels to work. When they came up with automatic hubs, I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah, I remember making my dad show me how to put the hubs in like three times because I was positive that if something happened, I wouldn't remember how to do it. And so I remember him showing me so that wouldn't happen to me ever.
Yeah, absolutely. So to wrap, I've got one final and most embarrassing moment story. And this is one that my dad told a lot. And, you know, he told it on his brother as if his brother did it. But the funny thing is, you talk to his brother, and his brother says, no, that was Mike who did that. So we don't know who actually did this, but we do know the story's true based on the facts of, you know, the Hicks boys. So anyway, what happened was they were at a big dance, and it was, I don't know if it was the Carmen Grange or where it might have been, but anyway, there was a most of the people had gone home because it was getting toward the end of the dance and there was just four or five couples left. And Dad said there was really good slow music playing and everybody was cuddled up on the dance floor swaying back and forth. You know how it is. And suddenly, my uncle lets a big fart and everybody in the whole place heard it. So everybody stopped, looked over, and my brother or uncle, thinking fast, looked at this girl he was with and says, that's all right. Just pretend like I did it. And she said, you did do it. He said, that's right. Just pretend like I did it. Anyway, the girls were furious because, you know, everybody, the girls stick together. They saw one of their friends get, you know, embarrassed by this kid. So all the girls jumped in a car and headed out. Mad, and all the boys jumped in the car and headed out, and the final part of the story is they went and poached a deer, so I don't know if that part's true, but anyway, If anybody has a good comeback for, you know, farting in public, that's probably one you could use and maybe get away with. I don't know. So anyway, if anyone has any good embarrassing moment stories, be sure and publish them or send them, email them to us or put them on a comment in Facebook or something like that. And maybe in another session or another podcast, we'll read some of them. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to close up, Sarah?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us on We're on the Air. Bye.